Hey everyone, we are finishing up a series we started 2 weeks ago, and it's not new information, but it's a reminder of who we are. There's an old song. It was a song that I first learned as a brand new Christian called "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." We've tried to take that idea and we've switched it around a little bit. They will know we are Christians by, and we've changed it a little bit. Not that love isn't important, but without love being explained, it can end up being something less than what God intended. So we looked the first week at that we will be known as followers of Jesus, as Christians, by our real devotion to God. That means that we're going to honor God with everything we do, and it is fueled primarily by our gratitude toward Him. We're not trying to earn something by doing the right thing. We're trying to demonstrate just sheer gratitude because of all God has done for us. The second week, it said that they will know we are Christians by our eagerness to grow. Devotion to God means that I am now going to wrap my life around the things that really matter to Him. In fact, Jesus said the way you can measure a metric to measure your love for God is obedience. If I really love Him, I will obey Him. Wherever there's a difference of opinion, God's word says this, I want to do this. Every time there's a difference of opinion, I choose to tap out and let Him win. If you missed either one of these messages, I hope you'll get them. You can get them on demand, watch them whenever you want to. You can do that through our app or on the website. But today builds on what we've looked at. We want to wrap this up because understanding the first two is foundational for this last one. And before I get into it, I want to give us just a warning. Whenever you and I rely on our own resources and resolve, we will seriously be limited in our perspective and our abilities. Let me say it one more time. Whenever you and I rely on our own resources, our own resolve, our own ability to do something, we will be seriously limited in both our perspective and our abilities. This is true for all of us. It's one of the reasons that there's disunity and brokenness in our culture and why it's persisted for so long. People recognize things are wrong. They understand that, but their capacity to change and to even know how to change, to build something healthy, something good, it tends to be elusive and short-lived. We see this in the world, but we also see it in the church too. People put a majority of trust in their hope of gaining power and influence. Maybe it's through policies, maybe it's through peaceful protesting, it could be through finding political maneuvers or power and influence, and even legislation. These things can be helpful, but we need more than that. We need something more substantive than just finding the power to cause others to do something differently, because power shifts. Jesus spoke to a group of religious leaders one day, and they didn't understand this. They thought if you just have enough influence and power, you can get things done. And they really didn't miss it. And so Jesus corrected them. And listen to what He said. And this is something you and I need to hear in our personal lives, but also in our church. He replied, Your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. You don't understand the truth of God's word, and you don't understand His power to help you be effective. As we've seen, devotion to God, our Creator, is essential for us as followers. That's really what distinguishes us from others. He sent His Son to rescue us. And so the starting place for us is to understand that this God that loves us has given us truth, He's given us hope, He's provided us healing, and there's a possibility of real change in our own lives and then as we grow in our lives together. As we surrender ourselves and align ourselves with Him, we begin to really see God's intention, His perfect intention for this world that we live in. After Jesus had corrected the religious leaders, saying they didn't understand the scriptures or the power of God, he had another public discussion. It's interesting. Jesus was constantly being hounded by opponents. There were those that were jealous of his popularity. There were those that were intimidated by him, and those that were afraid that if people began following him, it would erode their power base, their position in the culture. So they were regularly trying to trip him up and discredit him. Getting to say something they could use against him is just like we see today in the political world we live in, trying to catch someone saying something, even if they haven't actually said it, maybe just excerpt something they've said and change the context of it. What I love about Jesus when these things happened is that he never stooped to their level. You never see him defensive. You never see him arrogant. You never see him trying to go with the same measures they used and kind of a gotcha mentality. But Jesus answered these. This was a group called the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the first ones. They were more politically oriented. And the Pharisees, listen to what it says. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, this was the reply I read to you earlier, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus listened to him, and Jesus replied. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus got this from Deuteronomy 6, which all of the Jews knew. The expert knew this too. And it was the right answer, and it was an answer that really, I think, surprised this guy, because he was probably expecting Jesus to maybe be more on the defensive. Let me just say this as an aside too. For the next 2 weeks on our prayer night, starting this coming Monday night and then the next Monday night, we're going to be actually looking very, very deeply at the two things Jesus says here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I hope you'll join us. This prayer night has been so good. And if you haven't been a part of it, or if you haven't been a part of it for a while, please join us these next 2 weeks. But anyway, what Jesus is saying here to the Pharisees in response to the question, what's the great commandment? It's for us to hear this too, both individually and collectively as a church. We need to latch onto this and build our lives on it. Anything less than that, and we are in dangerous, dangerous territory. You know, this week our nation has mourned the loss of a Supreme Court justice, Justice Ginsburg. By all accounts, she was a remarkable woman. You may disagree with her in some of her beliefs and some of her positions. I personally do, especially when it comes to abortion. But there were some things about her that were really remarkable, and how she held her ground, how she blazed the trail for especially for women and others. And I really appreciate reading about her relationship with former Justice Scalia, who also passed away. He passed away a couple years ago. And while they were so very different in their views, she would be more in the liberal camp, him in the conservative camp, how they treated each other and the friendship that they built. Instead of seeing each other, they saw each other as opponents in some political arenas and positional views, but not enemies. And there's something there that you and I can learn from that. But there's someone else that passed away this week that I want to mention, because he provides an example in a remarkable way that goes right along with the message this week. It was Gale Sayers. This is a picture of him. He played for the Chicago Bears. He was a phenomenal in college and in pro sport. He was an amazing, amazing player. He became the youngest player inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. You can go back and look at his stats. He had a relatively short career. He was injured. But for the first 5 years, he was all pro. It was just pretty amazing. He's ranked, those that understand football, he's ranked with the elite at the very top. Non-football folks were introduced to him and know him also through a friendship that was chronicled by a movie, his friendship with Brian Piccolo. This is a picture of the two of them. What was remarkable about their friendship is this was during the 60s when there was so much turmoil racially in trying to fight for equal rights. They became the first interracial roommates in the NFL. They shared rooms together. Both of them were married. They had healthy relationships in other areas, but this was one where, as not only as teammates, but they were roommates, and they built a strong friendship with each other. And it became something that others were watching and trying to figure out. Their friendship bonded even stronger, not over football or just the racial differences, but over difficulties. Gale Sayers had ended up having a serious injury that ended up limiting and then ending his career. Piccolo also had a debilitating illness. He had cancer and ended up taking his life at 26 years old. Their friendship was strengthened as they both walked through these really, really difficult times. There was a movie made about their relationship called Brian's Song. It was a TV movie. It won 5 Emmys. A real tearjerker. What is less known about this movie is that the idea of it came from a magazine, a Look magazine, did a review of a memoir that Gale Sayers wrote. And from that, and one of the chapters in that, they saw the possibility of this movie being told about the relationship with him and Brian Piccolo. So they made this movie together, or they made this movie out of a chapter from that book. What is lesser known is the title of the book. It was Sayers' memoir was written a few years after he retired from the NFL, and it was called I Am Third. The title was borrowed from a motto from his track coach when he was in college. And the track coach said this, he taught his teammates this. He goes, look, the Lord is first, my friends are second, and I am third. I love this. The idea that I'm not number one is so pretty unusual. I would change the motto to this, the Lord is first, my neighbor is second, and I am third. And I hope that at some point you might read, see the movie Brian's Song or read the book. But the idea here is really, really important and valuable for you and me. And never more so than right now where we stand in our moment of history here in our country. Listen to this. Jesus Church is the model of hope for our world. Jesus Church, you and me, we are the model that God has set apart. We're his plan A to really show the world what could be. Jesus said this in John 13. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Notice this is not a suggestion or an option. It is a commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Not your bumper stickers, not your slogans, not your signs, but your love for one another. We are to show a watching world what God's design for relationships looks like. Jesus' church should be a glowing example. Remember, at one point Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We should be a glowing example of how people with diverse backgrounds and ethnicities can live together, valuing, respecting, caring for, and loving each other. Just as followers, This is what we do. We follow. We don't get to tell God what he should be doing or how he should operate. We follow his lead, his example, and we obey the commands. We should be showing our culture the way. We should be setting the pace. When you and I humbly choose to love and obey our Savior, we will discover wisdom, courage, and power to accomplish the amazing things he has in store for us. I'm going to read it one more time. When we humbly choose to love and obey our Savior, and quite honestly, if I love him, I will obey him. When we do, we will discover wisdom, courage, and power to accomplish the amazing things he has in store for us. If you are wondering why you're not seeing God's power in your life, or you're not sensing a closeness to him, it may be that you've moved away from this kind of devotion that leads to obedience, kind of loving him where he has first place in your life. Jesus said this to us. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He said, when you accept me, when you follow me, I will give you power. I will give you all you need to live this new life. And when you do, you will be my witnesses. You'll be my showcase. You will be my show and tell. You see, there is no plan B. We are it. God designed you and me as his church to be an example to a watching world of what he wants to do, what he can do, what he's capable of doing, and how we can be utterly changed from the inside out. You and I, we need to give our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, our community a good and a real powerful example of what loving others looks like. There should be no question about this. The last thing, the very last thing you and I want Jesus to say to us is what he said to his opponents. I'm going to read it one more time. Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Personally, I am really concerned about the state of Jesus' church right now. I realize that with the pandemic, there's been so many changes, and I know people have, we haven't been able to meet together much, and so it's easy to become distant. It's easy to kind of lose track of what's most important. Many of us have gotten caught up in our own, you know, whether it's fear of health or finances. We've got this political stuff going on that has been so divisive. We have racial conflict and injustice going on in our country. And it is easy, if we're not careful, to lose sight of who we are and what God has called us to. And we can begin living in fear or frustration or anger or cynicism or skepticism. And we run the risk. And I am pleading with all of us. Let us do everything we can to not have to hear Jesus say, "You don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God." God's word guides us and tells us what is true. And his Holy Spirit gives us the power to change and to grow from the inside out, to become new people. If anyone is in Christ, they become a brand new creation. The old is gone and new has come. This should be, it needs to be, a hallmark of Jesus' church, beginning with you and me. I want to close this message by reading you a statement that describes how we at New Hope have been living and the values that we have, what we've held on to when it comes to understanding about people and the nature of how God designed us, and what this loving our neighbor should look like. This is not anything particularly unique to us. It's something that should define us, and we should be rallying around together to make sure that this is how we live Now, some people have been upset over the last few years with us at New Hope. Some have said we've, because of our, when we did Be the Bridge 3 years ago and began focusing on racial understanding and harmony and unity, some have said, well, you're just trying to fit in with the culture. And my answer to that is no. We're not trying to fit in with the culture. We're trying to fit in with God's culture. What does he want his people to be like? We've had some others that have been upset with us. They said that we're making compromises or we're just trying to be cool. And I disagree with that too. Now, everyone's free to have their own opinion. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what does God's word say and what has God assigned for you and me to do? We have lost people over the years because they feel like that we make too big a deal about this. And I get it. Find a church that fits better for you if that's what you need to. But we are committed to this because we have this devotion to God that says we're going to love our neighbor. And we need to figure out how best to do that. We've got a ways to go. But I want to read to you this statement. When I'm done, we're going to pray together. And I hope that this week in the take-home sheet, if you've gotten the notes, I've written this out. And I really encourage you to read this together as a family. Read it out loud and then discuss the points of it. And then let's commit together. Those of you that say that I'm a follower of Jesus and New Hope is my home, will you help us to live this out day in and day out? Here's what we believe about people at New Hope Church. In the Bible, God gives us clear guiding principles for understanding ourselves and others. Human beings are unique in all of creation because we're created in God's image. This means we reflect aspects of his nature unlike anything else in the world. There is great beauty in this aspect of our lives. There's another side of us, though. We are still damaged by sin. We are all damaged by sin, wanting to live independently of God and have our own way. The result of our sin is that we dishonor our Creator and mistreat each other. Without help, we are without hope. That is why God sent his Son to rescue and save us. New Hope's mission is simple: to help all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. All humans are created in God's likeness, regardless of their sex, language, skin color, or socioeconomic status. With this understanding, we want to do everything we can to help all people understand how much God loves them and wants a personal relationship with each of them. Jesus made this mission clear. He came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word nations in the Greek is the word ethnos, and it means all people groups everywhere. As we are faithful to pursue our God-given mandate, our church will become a diverse community of people with various backgrounds and ethnicities who are now brothers and sisters in God's great family. As this community grows close to God and each other, it should be characterized by love, respect, honor, and humble service to all as equals. Because we tend to let our differences divide rather than develop our community, we need to work hard at building unity and intercepting anything that can cause disunity. In fact, the word community is a reminder of how we can do this. As followers of Jesus, we have two important things in common. We are all created in God's image, and we've all been reborn into his family through accepting Christ as our Savior and leader. These realities are the foundation for building closeness and unity. As we build relationships with each other in Jesus' family, his church, we choose to let our differences and diversity strengthen rather than separate us. Because God created humankind with diversity, historic and contemporary issues will most likely impact us differently. This includes, but is not limited to, matters of oppression, discrimination, and favoritism. Our goal is to acknowledge and address these issues, not to ignore or dismiss them. Our intent is to build a healthy community under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and from there be a positive influence in all of our spheres individually of influence for His glory and for the benefit of others. This will create a taste of what life will be like when history wraps up and we're in heaven together. Revelation says this, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a mighty shout, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" This is a picture of what will happen at the end of history. Another aspect of building this kind of community together is to be an example of God's good design to a watching world. Jesus makes this very clear. This is a verse that we used in our notes today. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And also, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." We want to be a church that honors God in all that we do. And to that end, we will work diligently to build a community that reflects God's heart and shows, and it shows in how we value, respect, honor, and love all people. I hope you'll join me in doing our part to make this a reality. Marcia Dolan, one of our small group leaders and just an important partner at New Hope, Marcia's going to lead us in prayer. Marcia.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come before your throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that your love and your goodness is always available to overwhelm every circumstance and difficulty we face. Help us accept and receive all that our salvation in Jesus Christ provides us. Give us the faith to believe and the courage to trust that you're able to rescue us and show us a more excellent way of living. But mostly, just help us to come to you again and again, at all times and in every place, practicing what it means to rest in your love. May we recognize that joy and peace do not come from changed circumstances or from deliverance from difficulty, but from drawing close to you and placing our lives in your care. Now I pray that God, the source of all hope, will fill us completely with joy and peace because we trust in Him. May we overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.